Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Matt here, just dropping in very quickly before we start the show to let you know that I'm coming over to London. I'm over to do some live podcasts with Do Go On. But before we get into those, on the 4th of November at the Bill Murray in London, I'm going to be doing my stand-up show, Dry Ginger Mail. And you can get tickets now. There'll be a link in the description. So it'd be super cool to see you there. Just click the link in the description here or search Dry Ginger Mail Matt Stewart at on the Bill Murray website, which is angelcomedy.co.uk. Hope to see you there. On with the show.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we go through primates and popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. This week, I have two very special guests in the studio with me today. Firstly and foremostly, the number one guest on the show today is, without doubt, has to be Mr. Mark Bonanno. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much. Do you want to give a little bio of who I am and what I do and where I'm from?
Well, you might know Mark from a podcast on this very network. Podcast is called the Auntie Donna Podcast Show.
Oh, God, I'm blushing.
And on that, Mark plays a horse, as far as
How do you get on this network? Because I've got a podcast.
You've got to be good. You've got to be of a quality.
I just started. This podcast just started.
You have to have a certain, you know.
I couldn't
think of it.
You've been on. You do go on, which is a wildly successful podcast.
That's wild.
Successful. Yeah. You sold out all of Europe.
Yeah, all of Europe. Yeah, they sold them out.
There's no more room.
Yeah, they're gone now. Mm. And also joining us, this easily the second best guest.
That's fucked. I feel very unwelcome now.
Well, I mean, early days.
Let me have this. I don't get this. This isn't something.
This.
No, yeah, you'd be surprised how little I get this.
Why? Okay.
You're funnier than me. You're better looking than me.
Who?
You have a better girlfriend than me. We're all envious, Ben. No one's saying anything, but we're all envious.
All right.
That's not true. My girlfriend is spectacular.
So what are you saying? My girlfriend isn't spectacular?
No, your girlfriend is incredible. I love Maggie Luke. I wish I was with her.
Remember the no editing thing?
Yeah, I know.
I'd also like to introduce Mr. Ben Russell from the Bite Tank. Is that right? Bite Tank podcast.
You've both been on this podcast. It's called The Bite Club with Ben Russell.
Do you want to get on Planet Broadcasting?
Yeah.
Let me talk to my people.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'd love to my people.
Yeah. This is networking.
Right. Planet Broadcasting networking.
Yeah, exactly.
The emotions that I feel for my girlfriend are so pure and true. I want to make it very clear that I do love and adore her with everything that I have, and I'm lucky to be with her.
Did you know she's been on this podcast before?
I know that she's been on this podcast. I haven't listened to the episode because I don't listen to podcasts.
Oh my God.
I can't listen to podcasts. In fact, I would argue that I despise them.
That's such a good way to start a podcast.
I like being on them. It's fun chatting with my friends. Mm. I just can't listen to them. It's just not for me. Ben,
you're number one.
Thank you so much. Oh, well, that was quick. That took no time at all.
And you know what? I'm not upset because this is how things usually are for me. I'm in a comfortable place.
What are you
place.
Talking about? You're a very successful, young, lithe, free-spirited young man.
Yeah, but I'm also fructose and lactose malabsorbent.
Yeah, you are weak. You are one of the weakest people.
I got a weak gut, mate.
Yeah. Right. You, at the drop of a hat,
Can you plug my Twitch stream?
Yeah, what is it? Polite Boy
twitch.tv/verypolitegamer.
Can you plug that?
Just at the end or whatever.
Yeah, we'll save that for the end.
Or I'll, just in any socials.
Oh, yeah.
Like when it's going up, whatever.
So when I introduce you, I should introduce you as the very polite gamer.
Well, Mark from Auntie Donna, and then on his little side thing that he does.
Okay.
He does a bit of fucking Twitch.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's your side hustle.
Currently going through playing a bit of Tomb Raider. Ooh. In which I have nailed a bunch of monkeys in the face with my bow and arrow.
Oh.
It's great. So there's like a bit where you have to fight a couple of jaguars.
Nailed can mean so many different things.
Yeah. Sexual.
I think I'm
non-sexual, like, purely murderous.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, why? Monkeys are great.
It's just funny. You're fighting these jaguars in this jaguar pit.
Yeah.
And then you look up and there's a couple of monkeys watching you. You just go.
Wait, they're not even attacking you?
No.
Oh.
Just to get that XP up.
I mean, I've already demoted you. I can't. There's nothing else I can do.
He's killing apes.
Wait, are you killing apes or monkeys?
Just a little tiny little tree monkey.
Tree monkey.
Yeah.
I don't even think he knows what he's talking about. This flows in nicely to the next question. What is your favorite primate? Next and first question.
My favorite primate's Ben Russell.
Oh, that's nice.
I am a primate, so yes. That does actually work.
Scientifically.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on what you believe in.
No, it's not. No, that's not how science works.
It depends. You can't
just believe, oh, this is scientifically, I believe.
No, I'm just trying to include the religious listeners.
Well, it doesn't matter whether they want it or not. It is.
No, but some people still believe in Genesis, Ben. And if they believe in Genesis, they believe that women came from a rib.
Oh.
Ben is vaping in the studio.
I'm giving up smoking, ladies and gentlemen.
He's giving up smoking and he's vaping a very sweet smelling strawberry.
Like candy. It's
strawberry milkshake.
It's delicious.
Very nice. Very nice, Ben.
I think I'm going to get a fedora.
I think you should.
That's how much I enjoyed this right now.
I think it's going to make you 10 times more smoochable. That's my prediction.
That's funny because that is the tagline, the byline for this for this vaping.
Yeah.
What is my favorite primate?
Promite. Spread. That's a great
I do actually spread. Love Promite.
I'm a big Promite fan too. Yeah.
Me too. People say it's the lesser Vegemite, but I'm right into it.
Yeah, I think it's the greater Vegemite.
Yeah,
oh,
I'd agree.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly agreed.
Oh, man. That is a very good question, what my favorite primate is. It's very hard. I want to say I like Old World, but... I like orangutans, but in my new world, I would say I love a classic macaque.
Yeah, we love the macaque. See, we did a whole episode about Hit Monkey, who's a Japanese macaque.
Yeah, oh. I mean they're just so. I love a snow monkey.
Yeah,
love those little snow monkeys. In Hobart, they have those little snow monkeys, and they've all got herpes.
The ones really? In Launceston in that park?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is wild.
It's wild. They're just in a park. Everything else about it is just a normal park.
Yeah. I didn't know there was a lot of snow up in Hobart.
It's down.
It's down in snow.
Depending on where you are.
Right.
And if you believe that the earth is flat, which I do.
That's a great answer. Orangutans and the macaques.
I didn't know we were.
I mean, that's very pedestrian, I feel like. I feel like I'm being a basic bitch.
You are. No, I mean, you are, in a lot of ways. Orangutans have come up a lot, but they'd be right up
there. I was going to ask, can I pick a. Because I was. Oh, no, sorry, please go.
So
Ben.
What's that tiny. The tiniest primate? The tiniest primate, and it's got eyes so big that it can't actually move its fucking eyes like an owl. It has to move its head everywhere.
The mouse lemur.
Yeah, I love those little bitches.
You knew that straight away, Matt. That's very impressive.
Yeah. Hey, mate, I know how to utilize Bing.
I think that's probably my favorite. Excellent reference. That's my favorite.
It's also genuinely what I just did. Right? My computer will not go to Google. I don't know what has happened, but I'm locked into Bing.
Locked into Bing.
This is the best vaping experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
Well, is this your first vape, by the way?
This is my first ever vape.
And is there nicotine in there?
Yeah, not in the syrup. In the little coil, what they say.
Ah, cool, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, this is very exciting for you. Cool. I really think that this is going to help you kick the habit, as they say.
I want to. Smoking is so fucked.
It's awful. It's bad for your lungs. It makes you stink like shit.
Yep.
It really does.
Yeah, it's no good. It's crook.
But this makes you stink like
Strawberries.
Sweetness and strawberries, yeah.
I would like to make an addition to my favourite primate, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Are we allowed to pick ones from pop culture?
Definitely.
Great, because without a doubt, the most exciting primate I have ever encountered in my experiences as a primate is the little monkey whose name I don't know, but you could potentially Bing it. There is a little digital monkey in the Moonwalker Michael Jackson video game.
Yep.
And when you consume the monkey, I don't think you eat it, but the monkey is on rollerblades.
I think it would be bubbles.
Roller skates.
It would be bubbles.
Potentially bubbles.
Yep.
Bubbles. And when you consume him in some way, you don't actually eat him, but he disappears into you. Michael Jackson turns into a Android-esque robot with laser arms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that, for me, is the most exciting monkey.
Do you want to know what my least favorite primate is?
Oh, yes.
The chimpanzee.
Ooh, yeah. Interesting.
Why?
They're very violent. They freak me out. They actually scare me. Scare me more than gorillas, which are, you know, the king of the primates to many.
Did you have a bad experience?
No, I just...
chimpanzee?
They're just quite violent animals, I feel. That's what makes them so... Because they're so close to us, you know. Mm. They are violent creatures.
And we're one of the most violent.
Well, I would say we are the most violent. But chimpanzees being so close to us, they get that violence into them. And it's really... They freak me out. So many times you're like... You know, in the 90s, they were everywhere in Hollywood.
Mm.
And a lot of bad accidents happened. And also I saw this crazy documentary about this sort of colony that live in the jungles.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, and they're
violent. They hunt and kill other fucking monkeys, and they're wild. It's wild. They kill each other.
Not monkeys, Ben. I'd have to pull you up there. They're apes.
They're apes.
No, but they kill other monkeys.
Well, they're not other monkeys then, are they?
They just kill monkeys.
Fuck.
You're
like, I brought you in as a primatologist. You said you were a qualified primatologist, and now
I said I'm a prime. Metologist.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I misheard. That is embarrassing. Sorry, Mark, you're number one again.
Fuck yes.
Man, this is a roller coaster.
So this is crazy.
This is a strawberry flavored roller coaster.
This week, we're talking about the Planet of the Apes reboot from 2011, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have both
been... Why is so much monkey stuff? Why are we talking about monkeys so much?
Oh, this podcast is dedicated to primates. And
right. Why did you decide to do this?
Why did I decide to do this? Oh, I mean, if it's not obvious.
Do you love monkeys?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry, but to be honest, I'm not even that sorry about it. Only a little bit sorry.
I don't want you to be more sorry than that.
Okay,
a little bit is enough.
Okay, that's enough to satiate you.
Sorry, I made a terrible joke, and I apologize.
A lot of people say that the real reason that HIV obviously became transferred over to humans from PIV, primate in immunovirus.
Is the H in HIV for humans?
Yeah, because when it's cat HIV, it's FIV.
Feline.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's weird because we are primates, like you said before.
Yeah.
What if it was in a turtle?
It'd be TIV.
For turtle?
Turtle immunovirus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. There's nothing worse than turtle AIDS.
Is there, that is the worst of it? Have they ranked them out?
It just causes them to fall out of their shell.
But they said I saw this documentary on Edge of it, and they tried to sort of figure out where it did come from. It came from hunters hunting and catching and eating the monkeys.
Because they used to say when I was in primary school, they said it was fucking monkeys.
Well, but that's just what because people are like that's just people being it's ignorant
trying to make a joke
because
out of it.
You know,
right. But the primary school
HIV is transferred through blood.
Right.
So it's through hunting, killing and eating primates.
Because, that feels like that would be very hard to do to fuck an ape or a chimpanzee.
What happens?
Not as hard as you think.
Because, like you say, they're very strong. I mean, in this film that we're about to talk about.
They're strong, but they're easy to fool.
He just dresses one.
I'm not giving anything away. I've got my techniques and I don't want anyone copying me.
So what's a first, like, can you give a little hunt for someone that, a hint, sorry?
A little,
for someone
a little that, hint? Go to a $2
for someone
shop,
that wants to...
go to a $2 shop, buy yourself some PVA glue and a couple of old wigs.
Because earlier in the episode, you did say that you nailed a lot of monkeys recently.
In the new Tomb Raider game.
Right. In the nude.
In the nude, which I play in the nude.
Right, okay. So then this is what people can see on your Twitch.
Yes.
On the Twitch.
Yes.
Do you reckon in New Zealand they call it a Twitch?
Twitch.
The Twitch.
Imagine.
Oh, listen, guys. I'm on Twitch. I'm playing some Twitch Tomb Raider. I'm going to rate some tombs. Do you rate tombs? Like, what's the rating
system? No, you raid them. You raid them.
Oh, so it's not Tomb Raider.
And you find fruit. A sarcophagus potentially inside there. Try to avoid traps. Although my PC meets all the minimum requirements for the Tomb Raider game, and it's lagging real bad. So I'm going to message the devs. That's my plan, is to message Square Enix.
Yeah. You know, be like, another monkey that I really like. What's going on? Another primate.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not a monkey. The bonobo.
Oh, yeah.
What's the bonobo?
It sounds
a lot like my
peaceful,
last
peaceful, a matriarch society where they settle their differences through fucking.
Really?
Yeah, and they just have orgies. Just if there's like a problem, then they're like, no, let's fuck it out.
Let's fuck
it out. Is there bisexuality?
Yeah, I think so. I think they just love to fuck. And it's obviously, it's a ruled, it's a matriarchy.
As you guys both will know, there's also a bonobo featured in this film that we're about to talk about.
No way.
Of course.
Is there a bonobo?
There's a bonobo.
Yeah.
But strangely enough, it's the most violent of all.
And really?
Becomes the arch.
I think they were trying to.
Nemesis.
Who was that? Who is that?
Cobra.
Cobra's a bonobo.
Yeah.
I think though.
Really?
I think
that is fascinating. Sorry, I didn't realize that he was a bonobo.
Yeah.
I thought he was just a chimpanzee.
Yeah, he does, because it was a chimpanzee. Yeah, he looks like he, because he's had a lot of...
he's got scarring. Yes.
Mm. But anyway, I mean, we should get into this movie, because I have no idea. I assume people who are listening have probably seen it. But I've got a short little synopsis I found on Google, which
shouldn't assume.
I went to Bing and then I Binged Google and then I Googled.
Okay, Bing. Planet of the Apes. Hey, Bing. Hey, Bing.
This is what it says. Will Rodman, played by James Franco, a scientist in San Francisco, is experimenting... experimenting with a drug that he hopes will cure his father's Alzheimer's disease. His father's played by John Lithgow.
John Lithgow.
I fucking love the Lithgow.
I love Incredible. Lithgow.
He's my favorite primate.
I reckon he's going to feature on a future episode, I reckon, when we get around to Harry and the Hendersons.
I should work on my John Lithgow impression.
Yeah,
you should. I imagine you'd do a fine one.
That's a really good idea. I'm going to try. I'm going to work on that one for you
guys. Yeah, he's impressionable.
Mm, he is impressionable.
He's an exceptional actor. He can both do comedy and a villain, which I think is very rare.
And Winston Churchill in The Crown.
Yeah.
Oh, is he?
Which is sort of a bit of a comedy villain.
Really?
Not really.
Not really? I haven't seen it. I can't imagine there's a lot of laughs.
He plays a similar character in this one than he does in Interstellar.
Right.
Yes.
The aging father.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, aren't all fathers aging in a way? After his work is deemed a failure, Will becomes the guardian of Caesar, an infant chimp who was exposed in utero to Will's drug. Caesar displays unusual intelligence and Will decides to continue his experiments secretly. But as Caesar's intellect and abilities grow, he comes to represent a threat to man's dominion over Earth.
Well, can we talk about it now?
Yeah. Well, do you want to watch the preview and then we'll talk?
Yeah, sure. I just have a couple of questions.
Okay. Well, you want to let's go do the questions and then we'll watch the
trailer. Okay. So in this one, and there will be spoilers.
Yes.
There's also the disease that is starting to spread. You're starting to hear about it. And is that simian flu? Is that the simian virus?
We should say Ben hasn't watched this movie recently.
No,
but you have seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. So this drug that does help John Lithgow for a while, he gets back to as good a health or maybe even better health.
Mm-hmm.
But then antibodies start killing off the drug.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back to his
deteriorated
state. So then James Franco is like, I need to come up with another one that is going to fight off these antibodies, a stronger strain. And it's that strain that when come into contact with humans kicks off the virus.
Yeah, right.
But it does still improve intelligence in
primates. So it makes people sick, but it makes the monkeys smart.
So James Franco basically destroys the human race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets them to the point that they are in the third one, which we can't talk about.
That's right. In the second and third, it all kicks off from there. Well, towards the end of the... Anyway, we'll get to that. Let's have a little look.
Let's have a little looky at the preview-y.
That's cool.
Our therapy enables the brain to repair itself.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the cure. I want you to start testing in chimps ASAP. We test one subject. I want to make sure it's stable. I designed the 112 for repair, but Caesar's gone way beyond that. You mean increased intelligence?
Skills that far exceed that of a human counterpart.
This is wrong, Will.
It works.
And what about Caesar? Where does he fit in?
That chimp's company property.
He hasn't spent any time with other chimps.
They're not people, you know.
You're trying to control things that are not meant to be controlled.
Caesar!
Gives off a much spookier vibe
than
what the film actually is.
Yeah, the film is a lot brighter. Tense.
It's brighter and it's slower paced than that.
So slow.
Yeah,
it feels like it really does. Out of all of them, it really does feel like a whole movie of Act One.
Right.
You know what I mean? It doesn't have a strong beginning, middle, or end.
Yeah, right. So you're not a big fan of it.
So I watched the second one on a plane and fell asleep in and out of it. But I still enjoyed it. And I saw the third one, again, on a plane and loved it.
Right. I reckon, without going into the second and third too much, I'd say I probably love the second most, then the first, and then the third.
You both don't like the third.
It's very hard. The reason I was just laughing then was I don't want to look one of my friends in the face and have to tell them that they're wrong.
You don't like the third.
I despise the third.
Why?
I think the third... All right, this was my experience watching the third, which I probably should save for the pod where we talk about the third.
I'm going to be attacked on the third.
No, you're not going to be attacked. I'd love to hear positive things.
Yeah.
I was so looking forward to it because I loved the second one so much. I think the second one is one of those incredibly rare sequels that just knocks the first one out of the park and does so many wonderful things. Really, really great. Really, really loved it. Loved Gary Oldman just fucking playing Commissioner Gordon in it. It was great. Yeah. It was wonderful. He literally just plays Commissioner Gordon. It's wonderful. But when the third one ended, I was in Edinburgh and I went and I saw it on my own. And then the credits came out. I couldn't help myself. I just went out loud. I just went, "Oh, that sucked!" I couldn't believe I did that. And then I looked up Internet Movie Database and Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like, surely everyone agrees.
Nope.
People fucking loved it. I don't know. I just think it wasn't the movie I wanted to see. I think I went in there with too many expectations, and I think they tried to make me feel way too much for a CG monkey. Like there's only so much emotional investment I can put into a CG monkey in a real world.
I thought the CG was fantastic. All three films.
I'm not saying it's bad CG. I just think in my head I'm like, that's a CG monkey.
I think you're being CG-ist.
I just found it hard, and I think they really tried to make me feel for the monkey, and I think a lot of people would have felt for the CG monkey.
I felt for the monkey.
I felt for the monkey.
I'd say I didn't hate it anywhere near as much as you did. I didn't love it.
Why?
And I think it was expectation. I went into the first one thinking, Like, but which is, this movie is basically the reason this podcast exists, because...
Because you love it.
I watched it one, I was feeling a bit sad this one night. It was late at night. I couldn't sleep.
You okay?
Look, I don't mean to open up like this, but I've, you know, I'm okay now.
That's good. I'm glad that you're okay now. And then, I'm sorry that you were bad.
You know,
then.
I was slightly
sad.
You can always talk to me.
Call us, man, if you're ever
feeling any time of night.
You don't have to go see movies.
Middle of the night?
Middle of the night, I'm there for you.
Ben, I'll listen.
Middle of the night?
Yeah, I'll listen to you.
All right. Well, that would have saved me $3.99 on Google Play, but I...
Damn it.
and this whole podcast, but... So I remember...
Well, that would have been a crime.
I remember thinking what silly movies that have got of the in the title twice. It's about chimpanzees taking over the world. It seems so ridiculous. And then... So I went in with pretty low expectations for Rise.
Were you not aware of the history of these films and how it connected to Planet of the Apes?
Have
you seen the original, like, seven?
I love the first one, original one with the gun nut.
Uh-huh.
The rest I haven't really bothered
with. The rest are batshit insane.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard fucking, there's, like, yeah, I know, they get, like...
They're batshit insane and they get fucking, like, 70s dark. You know what I mean? Like... Fucking Midnight Cowboy.
Heroin and...
Midnight Cowboy fucking acid trip darkness.
I know get like almost as like Bond ridiculous. Like there's monkeys in space and then they do like a bizarro one where it's talking monkeys in a human world and all over the place.
Yeah, so the monkeys advance and then they go back in time. And the monkey gets captured by... And like the family gets captured by the circus. But the monkey in the old ones... His name is Caesar.
Yeah.
So it's very, I love this. I think that these films, regardless of what you think of, you know, the third one, I think as a trilogy and what they do to the franchise in general is kind of almost a benchmark of how to reinvigorate a franchise.
Yeah, yeah. It's very clever, very interesting. Anyway, please keep, please continue.
Yeah, sorry, continue.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm just trying to find, it was Rise was actually based on one of those original movies. It was loosely based on one of those early ones. I just can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I remember crying through. I was feeling for Caesar so much. I love Caesar so much. One of my favorite characters ever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do anything for that bloody chimp.
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, what a guy.
I believe you should always enter into a podcast, you know, with a goal. And your goal... would that be to maybe have Andy Serkis guest or at least caller?
If Andy Serkis could ever be involved, that would be a real dream.
He also
played King Kong.
Yeah, he's got real monkey experience.
He played King Kong?
Played King Kong.
In the Peter Jackson?
Yeah, King I think Kong film? In the Peter he Jackson or the more recent one.
You should look up him on Graham Norton show because he does a quick masterclass on how to walk like a monkey. Yeah.
Like an Egyptian.
Wow. The difference between a monkey, like a gorilla, King Kong, and a chimpanzee.
I wonder who will be the next person to knock Andy Serkis off the CG man throne, because I feel like he's the only person that does full CG characters.
I think
in
that
Hollywood.
There are probably Andy Serkises that we don't know about, but it's a matter that Andy Serkis has been the only, he was the first to really have a crack at being a full sort of a lead CGI character.
Yes, yeah.
And so he kind of has this king, like this sort of, he broke through. And
when did the first Lord of the Rings come out?
Long time ago.
Was it pre-1999? Did it come out before 1999?
No, I think the towers had fallen at that point.
Because I was going to say, are we forgetting about Jar Jar Binks?
Fellowship of the Ring was 2001.
Yeah, so there you go.
So Jar Jar Binks was the first. Thank you very much.
No.
First popular.
He wasn't a lead.
Fully CG.
He was a supporting
he
character.
He was the comedic lead.
He was the comedic
He gave
relief.
Those films. He, was he the, gave that film light and laughter.
He was the racist, pigeon English speaking.
That first Star Wars film is the most racist film. It's so
the trade,
really
the what? Trade Federation have a very racist accent.
Incredibly, they're experts
do the
in
accent.
Trade. No, I can't possibly do it. But that's the thing. I was doing that accent all the growing up as a kid, because I thought it was just my understanding of the world was
just
Italian, a fun,
and Italians
silly...
are very racist.
Yes, that's true. But the you know, like Watto's more Jewish, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's right.
He's so racist.
He's just like he's a swindler.
He's a swindler, and
he's all about making a quick buck.
He doesn't trust it, you know. That he's
you provided the car, and
that's a very good Watto.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's one of his lines? I can't think of one of his lines right now.
Jedi mind trick won't work on me.
What do you think you are, some kind of Jedi waving your hand around like that? I'm a Tartarian. Mind tricks don't work on me, only a money.
That's such bullshit, too, to just be like, oh, no, with this species it doesn't work.
Wait, so what's that meant to be?
It's meant to be like a Jewish character. Well, it's like it's got like a very Jewish sounding voice.
It's a very
voice.
Shylock character.
Yeah, yeah. And the character has this huge elephant-like
proboscis
nose.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Star Wars Episode 1?
No, I have. That's the first reboot. First prequel.
Yeah,
I saw that at the cinemas.
Still better than Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah, much better.
Really? Because I mean, I like that as well. But
they're all pretty terrible.
I'm not a real.
But this isn't a
Star Wars
podcast. No, and if it was, I would be very upset.
This conversation would be getting much.
I was just going to, because you were talking, it took me a second to find it, him, but you were saying Andy Serkis, who's the next one. Well, we've talked about it on a previous episode, probably the pre-circus, a man named Peter Elliott. And he played Bolo in the first Mighty Boosh episode featuring Bolo.
Really?
Yes, but we listed these.
So he's the Ape King.
But he started his. He played in Greystoke, The Legend of Tarzan. He played the primate father in 1984. Then he played a Wheeler in Return to Oz in 1985. Played King Kong in King Kong Lives in 1986.
Right.
Wow.
He played a mime artist in Gorillas in the Mist. So he was near.
But has he ever done a CG, or has he only done?
He's just been
suit?
In ape films. He's not been an ape.
No, they're all ape characters.
Oh, okay.
He was the great ape in The Case Book of Sherlock Holmes in 1991. He was
what's his name?
Gorilla in Congo. He was in Congo.
Oh shit! Oh,
we did that recently, and I missed that.
I love Congo, huh?
We did that a couple of weeks ago with Alexi Toliopoulos.
It's not aged well.
No.
No.
I haven't seen it.
Alexi really shat on it hard. And
I used to love it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did.
It's one of those VHSs that I just kept playing, you know.
So this man, Peter Elliott, if we could get him on the pod one day.
I was going to say aim for circus, but you'll probably reach Peter Elliott.
That's what they say.
Shoot
for the circus and you'll hit the Elliott.
The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, just to get... I feel like Evan Munro Smith on an episode of Gamey Game, trying to bloody rein you boys in.
That's excellent vertical integration.
I was looking up the stats about this movie, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. It was a huge bloody success.
Huge. It was
a banger. So it cost success. About $90 million or just over budget-wise.
Was it the highest grossing summer blockbuster of that year?
Oh, you know, surely. Don't ask me things that aren't directly in front of me, please, Ben.
It'll be on Box Office Mojo. That is a lot of money. $90 million budget for something that could potentially be a huge, catastrophic failure.
It had
every potential to be a complete piece of shit.
Absolutely. I remember when I... saw, like, when I heard that they were making a new one, I was like, you know, people were skeptical in general of this film
because of the 2001,
because of the Tim Burton piece of shit,
which was also a success at the box office,
really?
But it was only because it was critically panned that they shelved it. Because
there's some in the Tim Burton one. I love the puppetry in that. The puppetry looks incredible. Mm.
Did you know that I could be mistaken, but the same people that made the mask, made the mask in the original, helped made the mask in the Tim Burton.
Really?
Yeah.
And how far they'd come.
Yeah, because they were at the time of the original, they were winning Academy Awards.
Yeah, I mean, it is very good.
Nominated for, sorry.
Now you can kind of, you know, but I think it's still impressive, those masks in the originals.
Yes.
Oh, very much so. Mm.
Yeah, they look like really good masks.
Yeah, whereas they look amazing masks.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, they're clearly masks.
The main thing is they didn't really have CGI back then.
Rewatching parts of Rise, I was like, oh, that hasn't dated too well, that CGI really? Already. But some of it, especially Maurice the orangutan, is just like, holy shit, that looks
Maurice
like a real...
Maurice really looked amazing in this.
So good.
By the third one, they had really perfected his hair.
Yeah, and I love the orangutan. This is one of the reasons I love orangutans.
I love orangutans
because they got those
too.
Cool wads. Like the big guys will grow out these wads on the side of their head.
Yeah,
and he also has like a sort of a gullet thing. None of these are tech. Oh, I should have told you guys at the start. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, right.
So some of these terms I'm using are not scientifically sound, but you know what I fucking mean. Anyway, so big wads, and then that's sort of like goiter on his neck.
Yeah,
sick. Like it's, I don't wonder what he keeps in that sack.
So
they're
so,
amazing creatures. They just are so, and it's just such a shame that they're just being fucking slaughtered.
Yeah, for palm oil, right?
So we can eat Nutella.
Is Nutella, is that one of
huge
them?
Huge pummel.
Nestle is big on
Nestle
it.
Nestle
in
is a fucking monster. Right. See, if you want to be ethical, you want to be a good person, don't fucking buy
Doritos?
Anything Nestle.
Really? Doritos?
Doritos love killing orangutans. The CEO of Doritos wakes up and shoots an orangutan in the face for breakfast.
Mark Starr?
Yeah, I know what that's all about.
He just wakes up and goes, oh, doo, 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 and it goes, bang, and then has a shower.
Yeah.
And then does business.
Does business, and that business is the clearing. Doritos.
Just thinking a new,
oh, no, he's got people.
New collision flavors.
Yeah.
Right. He's got ranch and celery. That's his fucking job. He's a monster.
Yeah, he's got
I
other
just
want
to say, Planet of the Apes, 2001, Tim Burton, Planet of the Apes, made more money than Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Really? Because Rise made nearly $500 million.
What?
At the box office.
No, lifetime gross is $176 million.
That might be domestic, I think.
Oh, I think you're right.
You got to think internationally, baby. You got to think worldwide.
So yeah, I might be wrong. I might be very wrong.
Because we're worldwide.
Yeah, we are worldwide.
We're not even domestic
for
that.
Yeah, I'm so wrong. No, then it didn't make more than it. It made more than it domestically, but worldwide it only made 362.
There you go.
Still pretty handy. I think that little extra bit kick at the end would have come from some critical acclaim, which they did not get.
Yeah. It just was a terrible film. It was boring.
Bad choice of lead, and everyone knows the story, and like, who gives a fuck?
And then there's an ape. Ape Lincoln.
Yeah, that's pretty
and that
good.
Was just like, I just went, I remember watching that and just going, fuck you. Tim Burton is, I think that was the time that I was like, Tim Burton is done.
That was it.
Just a stupid way to reboot. A lot of people don't know how to reboot a franchise, which is one of the things that is, like you were saying earlier, Ben, is so interesting about this movie and this series is that what a brilliant way to reboot an old idea. Don't just fucking get the old script and put some bullshit extra twist to still confuse people.
I think I'm pretty sure that was because the studio said we need a big twist like we had in the first one.
Make it Ape Lincoln. Great, let's take an early lunch.
Well, Tim, you really are earning your fucking $3 million.
Put Helena Bonham Carter in it. Done. Where's Johnny Depp? He can't do it. Get Mark Wahlberg. Get Johnny Depp. He's too busy beating up women.
He's a monster. We were talking earlier today about how at Disneyland now, if you do the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, it's just a whole bunch of Hollywood sex offenders that they've turned into animatronics.
Really?
That's what Zach from Auntie Donna was saying today, which I thought was very funny.
Is that true?
Well, I mean, they've got Johnny Depp there now, and then they have alleged some other people. Let's not get into it. But it is not funny, but interesting to think about.
Is the Johnny Depp stuff still allegedly?
He's a fucking broken human being.
He looks like a bag of old shoes. You know what I mean? Like
In a bag, in one of those bags that isn't a bag, it's just made of beads.
Yeah, like a mesh.
Yeah, mesh.
Like
bag.
A net. It's like someone hauled in a big catch of old shoes. They're like, I just got this big catch of old shoes. And they're like, no, that's just Hollywood actor Johnny Depp.
When he was at the top of his game, he looked like a bag of new shoes. Yeah, remember that? He had the whole world at his feet.
But now he's just like, oh, hey. Oh, in all interviews, he just fucking mumbles. Oh, now I'm the bad guy in fucking fuck my dick off.
He's a dick machine.
Which did quite well. This was nominated for an Academy Award, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
For the best computer graphics.
Visual effects, yes.
Yes. This, who did the visual effects for this one?
ILM?
Yeah, I know.
I don't think it was Weta.
Or Weta.
I don't think it was Weta. I did a. Weta? I recently did a behind-the-scenes tour of Weta Workshop. Mm-hmm. And
it was
nice. Planet of the Apes. How did you get in there?
What?
How'd you get in?
He's a hobbit.
We had a fan. The janitor was a big Auntie Donna fan.
That's fun.
Knew we were coming to New Zealand and was like, fucking come.
Hey, you guys come to the Weta Workshop.
And they did, and it was incredible. We had the best. I got to see so much cool shit. We were at the door. We're behind the door that we weren't allowed to go through was where they were doing all the new Avatar films.
Oh, they're doing new Avatar films?
They're doing four.
Holy fuck.
There's like five.
They locked straight into a lot of them.
Oh, yeah, man. It's like crazy.
Oh, no. Sorry. I thought you were talking about airbending Avatar.
No.
Not the James Avatar Cameron. That no one asked for.
No. James Cameron.
James one. The one that no one... No one asked for.
No one asked for either. No one asked for sequels to Avatar, and no one asked for The Last Airbender.
Isn't that weird, though, because it was so popular?
I haven't seen it.
It's quite good. I think you'd like it.
How does a movie get beat?
You're stupid. You're a little fuckboy.
Fuck you.
Hey, whoa. All right.
I'm sorry. Sometimes we just fight, but we're best friends at the end. We always make up.
That's why we can fight, you know?
You were going to say something. Well, I just think it's
weird.
Podcast.
Weird. Sorry, I do. I'm sorry to butt in there. It was weird. Because the Avatar was so popular. Why doesn't it have fans like other big popular sci-fi movies?
I think people were initially...
Which one?
Isn't there only one?
James Cameron Avatar.
James Cameron.
Oh, no, sorry, not the Airbenders, not whatever
Airbender.
That is.
Not M. Night Shyamalan's Last Airbender.
Last Airbender.
Not the Last Airbender.
I think people were initially enamored by the special effects, which now have not aged very well.
Right.
But it was built for... No one... It kind of... was groundbreaking in its special effects because it really did sort of push
it's still the highest grossing film of all time.
Yeah, right. See, doesn't that make it weird?
But that is partly due to the fact that it was a three-dimensional experience.
Yeah,
right.
And the tickets cost a lot more because would argue that it looked like fucking dog shit in 3D. I saw it in 2D and I really liked it. I was like, it's Dances with Wolves, but it's blue aliens and I'm having a great time.
When I watched it, I did not like it.
Really?
Yeah, I did not like it.
Do you still not?
Yeah, I fucking hate that film.
You don't tend to like things as a general rule.
No, that's not true. I like the third episode. I like the third Planet of the
Apes. Don't like good things?
No, I like... you're being cruel. What don't I like? Don't I like?
Well, you don't like Star Wars?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like Star Wars.
You don't like?
I think that makes me cool.
Oh, sorry.
No, but you like Star Wars. You've just
been used to like Star Wars.
Yeah. When The Last Jedi ended, I turned to my partner, Naomi, who I love dearly, and I looked at her and she went, "What did you think?" And I said to her, "That is the worst movie I've ever seen."
Wow.
And then I paused and I went, "I think Star Wars is dead." And then I left the cinema.
Oh, no. That sucks because you were so excited by it all.
I know. I really was.
Because I quite liked that movie, which I think is because I didn't care as much as you
guys
care about it.
That's a fault of my own. I don't know. I just think they're not making Star Wars movies for me anymore. And I think that's fine. I think and that's okay.
It is fine.
I still love the comic books. Like, I get into Star Wars in different ways. I think the universe is amazing. But just The Last Jedi just narratively didn't really hold up to my expectations. Wasn't the movie that I thought it was going to be. Very much like the third Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, right. So it's expectations can make it hard.
I think expectations kill or they make or break. Almost every single time, I have gone into a movie without seeing the trailer, without seeing a poster, with knowing nothing more than the name, I fucking have a really good time.
Right.
And like, I think I completely agree with this because I think that's influenced why I like the third and you guys don't like it.
Definitely.
Don't remember.
Right.
I remember the first half of the second one. I remember being very good. I remember being up to the point where some Cobra's apes steal the weapons from the humans.
Yeah.
So that was a fun scene.
Yeah, great scene. Yeah.
You love the bonobos. Mark Bonobo.
Bonobo. Yeah, yeah. But then I think I fell asleep. So, and then I kind of forgot about it. But and then I was on another flight and I was like, oh, this one.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson. I fucking love Woody Harrelson.
I like Woody Harrelson.
And he was great in it, too.
He was amazing.
All, I mean, so, all of those things was probably what built up my expectations too high. And I also watched all three of these movies in a week. So I watched them right on top of each other.
See, my experience was very different. I had not seen the first one. I went to the movies with a friend to see the second one, not knowing not knowing what to expect. Fucking loved it so much. Went back, watched the first one, right? Mm. And then I was like, the first one I think is...
I reckon you're really not seeing it in order probably hurt the first one. Mm. I think I like that sort of slow burn into it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I guess I just, I mean, I saw where it was going. Did I watch it in preparation? I can't remember.
I remember enjoying the first one quite a bit, even though despite its odd pacing at times.
Yeah.
But I felt it did an, like in terms of a way to A, reboot the whole franchise,
mm-hmm.
and B, lay such like excellent foundations for a strong new franchise, I think that it ticked, it succeeded. It was a complete success in that way.
Things like the Lithgow, you know, like how it's sort of living out the fantasy of basically bringing someone back to life, that mm-hmm. drug. And that, you know, there was those sort of bursts.
It was very awakening.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things in it that made me feel really good.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's pretty sad things in it as well.
And it was a
roller coaster.
I think it's just one of those movies, unfortunately, where you watch the trailer and
that trailer gave way too much away. Yeah.
You've seen the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there is nothing further. There is no new information.
Yeah, that's
really
the
not. And they and it's
they really
they
fuck
pack
it up.
The back end of it. When the action starts to build, that's what the trailer is. So it sort of also shows you a false.
Yeah.
Representation of what it is.
Because that feels like, for me, that feels like all the action stuff at the end of the trailer, that should be in the middle of the film, right? And then there's more stuff. But it's not. That's the end of the fucking movie.
Yeah, that's the final
And it just
act.
All builds to that. And that's why it feels like a 2 hours of a first act as opposed to a complete film.
But, yeah, I don't know. You're slowly seeing him evolve and develop as a character, right? Caesar, that's all pretty linear.
Yeah.
To the point where he's making these sick calls tactically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the bridge, on the Brooklyn. What is it? No, not the Brooklyn. What's the Golden Gate Bridge?
Golden Gate.
That means that they can actually overpower the humans. Oh, man. I enjoyed it as much the second time watching it yesterday.
Yeah. I like it because it's a. James Franco's character is trying to do all this. He's misguided and he. He's wrong, but he's trying to do this to help.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a very human story.
Yeah, yeah.
Of someone trying to do well but fucking up. And I think that we all do that at times. And through that, he kind of it's this kind of like passing of the torch of this humanity in a way. You see that kind of this kind of a very human thing happen, and then the humans start to become more or less human and more just faces of people that hurt and are mean and wrong and, you know, cruel. And that kind of passes on to that, it transfers to Caesar, and then later the monkeys. And they become the humans. So it's sort of it's getting us used to this idea. It starts with a very human thing. Gets used to this idea of, no, these are more human. These monkeys are more human than the humans in this film. And then sends them off to be free, knowing with the promise of another movie.
Mm.
But meanwhile, it's trained us, the audience, to view these – monkeys as humans, and that's
apes. It's in the name.
They're apes.
It says it right in the name of the movie.
Well, you've been calling it monkeys.
Not once. Not
you
once.
Have. Yes.
You can't prove it.
Yes,
ever.
You have. You have
it.
Too.
I'm not.
No, you. This is bullshit.
It's actually.
This is a double standard, and this is the reason why the humans are the villains in all of these films.
Which
and
is why
you always go for the apes.
I was going to say, which is what I really love that they've done with these movies, which I think is really interesting and I've never seen done before, is that the lead humans in every film are different.
Mm. Right.
And I think that's it's like Bond villains, you know what I mean? Like they just, you know, the first one is Franco, the second one is fucking Gary
Gordon.
Oldman, Commissioner Gordon, and the third one is Woody Harrelson.
Mm.
I've never seen a franchise do that before, and I think it's a very hard thing to do. And even though I didn't love the third one, which I am going to rewatch after hearing how much you liked it,
mm.
but I still think I feel the
I
way
think
I
it
feel.
Gets, I don't I understand why you feel the way you feel. I think that it's a really good film, action film, and I think that it's a good story, but there are parts that are just incredibly predictable and incredibly mm. just left up. Like the way that they get out of things is. And the way that sort of the comeuppance of the bad guys left to coincidence.
Yeah.
And something that I've always been told is that you should use coincidence to get your characters into trouble, but never use coincidence to get your characters out of trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of like such a – and it's such a big, important thing to think about.
That's a great little writer story note.
Mm-mm.
I really
yeah, it's
like
something
that
I always think about.
Yeah.
Constantly.
I'm just trying to focus somewhat on this first movie.
Of course.
And
sorry, we're all over. We are talking more about the franchise in general.
What do you think about, so he becomes very protective of John Lithgow
mm.
and John Lithgow falls back into his illness
mm-hmm.
and the next one I have is a pilot,
mm-hmm.
which is a big coincidence thing, I guess, or because in the end the pilot getting sick is what spreads
yes.
the disease
right,
across the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
that gets us into trouble.
That's true, yes.
That's okay. believable.
Yeah,
yeah so, like, well, someone's going
to fucking
pilots.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'm a pilot. He says it early in the film. I'm a pilot. I need something or other.
Oh, really?
oh, I wonder if that's important.
I love that.
but so
I'm a pilot.
You just see the screenwriter at work there once you've seen the whole movie. Yeah. It's just like they developed that and they got the second thing. They went, oh, but we need people to know. He's like, just put a little fucking line in and just stick that in. So it's a little sticky tape.
And it just got through. It just got through every level of checks and balances. It's so, like, fuck it, it's late night.
Lithgow's
getting forgetful again.
So he's out and he's gotten into the pilot's car and he rams it into he's forgotten how to drive and he's a bit confused. So he rams the car in front of him. He rams uh-huh. the car behind him and the pilot comes out and goes, what the hell are you doing? He drags him out of the car. Caesar's watching down from his window in the attic and he comes down to protect him and he takes the pilot down, including biting off a finger.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then because of that, he gets sent away.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman at the counter who actually plays one of the apes. She's one of the.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's cool.
But he's.
Those apes, those lady apes, they got some sweet.
Don't even get me started on those lady apes.
Oh, man, Megan.
I can't. Sweet. You know, start on those lady apes. Matt, you know what we're talking about.
I think I know what you're talking about.
You know what we're talking about.
Look, you're saying it in a different way. I know what you're talking about.
You know what we're talking about.
I understand what you're talking about. I don't at all endorse what you're talking about.
No, of course you don't.
Of course you don't.
Stop winking.
I don't endorse it.
Stop winking at me.
I don't endorse nothing, mate.
This is, I don't know. I'm starting to not. Do I know what you're talking about? What are you guys talking about? So, what is the main guy in this movie?
Harvey
called?
Weinstein.
He's the worst.
No, the guy in
the biggest villain of them all.
He's a bad Hollywood guy.
What's the star of this film called again? He is a bad. Look, I do know what you're talking about. He's a bad guy. James Franco. He's there at the window, and he goes, "I tell you what, you're going to do. You're going to go." Move some stuff around in your computer and you're going to get me Caesar back right now. And she goes, honestly, you're lucky they haven't put it down. He's demanding that he gets Caesar back. And it's like, mm. yeah, obviously you are lucky. If your chimp pet bites off the finger of a pilot who lives next door, you're lucky that chimp's not.
I mean, that chimp that tore that woman's face off It got destroyed.
Right. Well, there you go.
And what about
I don't know what you're talking about.
The big gorilla that was fucking around with the kid.
Harambe.
Harambe didn't even technically do anything.
No, Harambe did fuck all.
Right.
Harambe was just like.
Have you talked about Harambe in this podcast?
No, we'll probably do a Harambe special one day.
You should look at all the memes of Harambe.
He went on a real arc, right?
Yeah.
They loved him, then they laughed about him, and then they. They lamented him. It was the classic hero's journey.
He scared us. He made us cry. Yeah. And then he made us laugh.
Yeah.
That'll be the memory of the dead monkey.
And what about Coco? You going to talk about Coco?
Coco bananas? Is that a saying?
No. How can you have a primates podcast and not know about Coco? She lived till she was like
Coco
50.
Chanel?
No.
That's not
She lived
old.
Till she was 50. No, well, it is old for a captivity.
Not for me. I'll make it to there for sure. Yeah.
Okay. I know.
My dad's 62.
Yeah, I can name 12.
Maybe she will. I don't know if she.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. She lived past it anyway. I don't know. Okay, just shut up. She could talk using sign language.
Yeah. When did she get into?
And she
cosmetics?
Lamented the death of
Robin
Williams.
I know that's such bullshit.
She did.
That's such bullshit, Coco. Fucking talking in fucking sign language. Give me a break. He knew some shit. You know, I was going sad. Yeah, of course you're sad. You're in captivity. You're always sad.
See, this is Mark couldn't feel anything for a CGI ape.
Yeah.
Because you can't even feel something for a real ape.
Yeah.
Oh, Coco, give me a fucking break.
Cold inside.
Yeah, real dead.
I'm dead inside.
Dead man.
So you talk about Coco as well. You should have an episode about Coco.
Oh, have me on.
No, I don't think that will happen.
I don't think that would be happening.
So then Caesar, right, is sent away.
Caesar's sent away.
Not a very friendly
almost
sanctuary.
I think this part is too much. They lay on the cartoonish evil of this place.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
A lot.
And including the bad guys, Malfoy from... Harry Potter.
Yes, it is. Malfoy.
And I didn't realize that until the second watch.
The bad guy is Malfoy, and also the head bad guy is that guy.
X-Men,
bad guy. The guy that always talks like this, and he's a bad guy in everything.
Yeah, he's a cartoon bad guy.
I'm the bad guy in everything.
Who's he in X-Men? You'd know, Mark.
What's his name?
He was the one who created Wolverine, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I think
right.
Is he Striker?
Striker.
Yeah, he's
Or I might be confusing him.
No, you're 100% right. I just don't know. He's actually a fantastic actor.
He is great. He's a great villain.
But this place is just on the edge of cartoonish villainy.
It's like a mini jail movie in itself.
Yeah.
You see Caesar slowly work his way up the pecking order, or slowly and then very quickly work his way up the pecking order.
It does change. The tone is almost, is jarringly changed.
Right. Yeah, it does feel like it's definitely
it's like,
another.
Well, it's the...
two films. It's sort of this. It's the setup of the franchise type thing, and then this is how this is his story. It goes again, Franco story, Caesar's story.
They changed leads. That's what I was just about to say.
Right.
So that's why it's weird, because
that's crazy.
It's like you're watching a movie about James Franco trying to save his dad, and then all of a sudden you're tied up in this monkey game.
Wow.
Ape game.
Well, who's to say?
Oh, I am. another thing that's maybe
you
little...
dealt with that much better than I did. I just got upset.
What do you think about how there's a lot of sort of characters that have elements of villain. There's not any that are like straight up villain. Maybe the head of the medicine plant.
Yeah,
he's all about it's about money. It's all about money. Like
money,
he's pretty one dimensional.
Yeah,
but. Characters like the Rocket, who is the head of the chimps at the start when he gets there, and he's not very nice.
No. Uh-huh.
But then he sort of he's outsmarted by Caesar and becomes puts his hand up to show that he's whatever you call it.
It's Rocket
what
is Rocket
and then he goes like
Rocket's
that.
In the third one, isn't
yeah,
he?
So Rocket hangs in. Cobra stays around as well. So Cobra is in this movie is a veteran of experiments. He's got the scarring and everything to prove it. He's got great, and this comes into play more in the second film, but he has very good motivations to hate humans.
Yeah. Yes, very much so. Yeah, they have, they did.
But he lets his hate consume
him. He does, it's true.
They drew, Caesar is willing to let go and try and coexist.
But Caesar's whole upbringing was surrounded by loving humans. So
yes, he understands that, he thinks of Franco and he understands that humans can have a good heart.
Yes, right. But he fights for his family.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, he loves his family.
I quite like all of that, how they show that, most characters aren't fully one-dimensional, and if they are bad, they've got a pretty good reason to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like that guy wants money. So, they're pretty good reasons. Did you notice there were a few nods to the original movie in Rise?
No, please point them out.
One of them was very obvious when Malfoy is finally about to be taken down at the ape prison.
He says, "You damn dirty ape."
He says, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape." Yeah.
Does he actually say that?
He says the whole thing, yeah. So that would made me feel a bit.
As an actor, that would have been
It would have been annoying.
It would have been
it was hard to watch.
I was fucking Draco Malfoy.
Just get your hands off me would have been enough.
Yeah, just a little nod. That's more than a nod. That's a full bow.
Get your hands off. Definitely
bow and kissing the feet.
Yeah. You don't, because no one says damn dirty ape. Mm. Undoubtedly, Charlton Heston would have like added damn dirty in there. Yeah. Like that's such a like an NRA fucking thing. Just out of my cold dead hands. Yeah. Like
it's bigger than it like anyone would ever go. It's old school theatrical.
Yeah, big time.
It's
very
Heston. Very and I'm Heston. Not talking about the award winning
Blumenthal.
Chef.
Yeah. It's very Heston. It's a lot of foam. It's a lot of sort of like seaweed.
It looks like
foam.
An egg, but it's really meat.
That's his favourite thing to do is disguise meat. Heston. Yeah.
It looks like a champagne glass, but you can eat it and it tastes like cum.
Well, we went through three options. So two of them you went, no, I better not.
Yeah.
But you did go with cum. So I'd love and also hate to know. What the two that you rejected?
I'm
going
to take that to my grave.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I think that's a good call.
You'll have to pry it out of my cold, dead hands.
My dirty ape hands. The other one that I didn't notice, which I had to read today, was that Caesar's putting together a puzzle, and it's a puzzle of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh,
yes.
Which he'll bury in the sand one day.
Yeah, which they'll bury in the sand.
It'll grow into a much bigger statue.
I heard rumors that they are planning to continue this franchise.
Yeah, I believe that they are too, yeah.
Because, I think maybe that's one thing too. Sorry to jump off, but one thing about the third that upset me was that it didn't feel like a ending for
me. No, see, this is my theory, and I think it's a pretty valid theory. I think the next ones will be setting up where the original Planet of the Apes.
What I want to see.
So I think we'll see a... Because we'll see the ape society grow and be developed now, and then we'll see the humans come back in time or forward in time. Actually, right.
That'll be very interesting.
So I think that's what we're going
to
see next.
Because what I would love to see at one point in these movies is how did the Statue of Liberty get there?
Right.
Like how did that happen? I want to fucking see that footage.
All right, boys, let's bring it down and. And bury in the sand.
Unless it was just because of a
steel
passing
cut
of time.
Tycoon.
I always assumed it was erosion, but yeah, that's a good point.
In the original film, it was nuclear war.
Ah, right.
Right.
Yeah.
By the humans trying to blow up the...
No, humans blew up each other.
Blew up each other?
Yeah.
And then the monkeys... So
through
this...
radiation or just
so
through evolution?
I believe, I may be mistaken... So if someone can...
We'll get to that in a future episode anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
We've got many Planet of the Apes
to get
through.
Me research this and then get back to you.
Okay, great. I've also found a bunch, if you have any interest, a few IMDb facts about this film, including this, and we talked about this a little bit before, but this is the first installment of any of the Planet of the Apes prior to it. So there was, half a dozen or more before this.
Too many.
This is the first one that featured... a species other than chimpanzees, gorillas, and orangutans, and that is Cobra the Bonobo.
Oh, that's crazy that it is a bonobo.
Really? Even the Tim Burton one? I thought the whole Tim Burton one was that they just threw shit at the monkey wall and put, like, all of them in
there. Yeah, the ape wall.
The ape wall. Well, whatever. That's your opinion.
And when are they going to have monkeys? Like...
Yeah, when are they going to do a Planet of the Monkeys?
When are they?
Maybe it's just the Island of the Monkeys. Maybe it's a similar thing, but it's just a little smaller scale.
Monkey Island.
Monkey Island.
They do explain, and I mean, I'm reading these all and taking these at face value.
Please.
This is just someone putting up a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently this was because the species was assumed until recently to be a subspecies of chimp.
Mm.
And that's why they hadn't used it in previous films.
Right.
Mm.
Apparently, this is Charlton Heston's Blumenthal's fifth appearance in the Planet of the Apes franchise. He's very briefly on a TV playing the role of Michelangelo in The Agony and the Ecstasy.
That guy's
65.
He's a real fucking
bad
man.
He's a bad guy. Yeah, he did die.
Real bad man. Yeah.
And he died having suffered from Alzheimer's.
Good.
Mm.
So potentially a little nod. Apparently a little nod to him there.
He's a real bad man. Big, I mean, in my opinion, in terms of my political beliefs, he's a big...
Watch out. Australian's going to tell us that gun control is bad.
No, I just think he just did things held gun rally, like...
In Flint, Michigan,
in areas after shootings.
Yeah, really? We all watched Bowling for Columbine, dude.
What is with the tune?
I don't know. I just feel, oh, no, my vape. I don't know. I don't know why I'm sassing so hard.
No, it's cool.
You're right. No, he is
you.
Actually
I completely understand that, you know, everyone.
No, I'm just being
No, you're beautiful. I don't think a lot of people outside of our we're millennials, believe it or not.
Just.
Update.
Baby. I think I scrape on through. Yeah, I scrape
in. But Gen Z or whatever the fuck it is below us, I don't know how many of them would have watched Bowling for Columbine. I know it was big amongst us.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
There you go.
It's good.
What do you think about the fact that Bonobo, the
See.
They love to bone...
Yep.
They love to love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But their representation in this movie is the most brutal, villainous.
Well,
I think it's good.
I think that's a little twist in there for ape nuts.
Yeah.
Right.
So people who are big on apes, they go, oh, look at that. It's a Bonoco. He's going to be so cool.
You can't even say your own surname, Bonobo.
Bonobo. He's going to be having so much fun. He's going to be sick.
And just then, like...
that's not what I expected from Benaki.
And there is no... Does Koba love to fuck? He doesn't fuck at all.
That ain't showing.
He loves to fuck shit up. That's for sure.
He sure does.
Fuck shit Caesar up loves for everyone. To fuck.
They don't show everything, though.
You know the fucking... I love the lady...
again with the bloody... Those
lady
you know what we're talking about, Matt.
Do we see monkey dick?
No, there's no monkey
penises at all.
There's
no monkeys.
Ape dick. Do we see any ape dick?
I couldn't describe one, which makes me feel like no.
So they blurred out the ape dick.
Well, no, they didn't blur.
That is PC gone, man.
The pubes cover the...
I think it's like the CGI technology hasn't come that far. It's come far enough that they can do the rest of the apes.
Mm-hmm.
But genitals...
Yeah, we sold bloody some of them.
Yeah. Well, you guys know. You've seen them up close. They're difficult to recreate.
They are.
Dicks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You tried to do it with a sock and a bit of sand, and it just was impossible. Imagine...
Sock and sand... And that's a bit bland.
Yeah, exactly.
That's... Sand and sock.
Yeah.
You got a hard cock. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that tickled you.
That was
it's
great.
Good to see you smile. That's fun.
That's the high watermark of the show, I think. Did you guys know that the writers of this film originally... had it written for a separate project. They were kind of like horror writers, a couple called Rick Jaffa and Amanda Silva. And it was initially going to be a movie called Genesis, centered around an evil genetically engineered chimpanzee that was raised at a human home and was very smart but spoke only in sign language.
Wow, so this got retooled.
Got retooled, yeah. Well, I think they started to get involved and then...
It makes sense that it wasn't a Hollywood exec or like some producer being like, let's reboot Planet of the Apes this way. They found the spec script.
And it was good.
And they were like, oh, monkeys. So that's you know where I've seen monkeys before? That movie I like.
So does that mean that they didn't have...
Now you're just trying to...
First wrote Planet of the Apes, they didn't have the sequels in mind.
No, yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That makes number two... Even more impressive.
Yeah. That's at the very beginning. Obviously, it was retooled from there.
Mm.
The previous movies they had written include The Relic and The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Oh, familiar with either of those? Not great films. No.
Yeah, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle was, I remember it being pretty big time when I was little.
Yeah, The Relic with Wayne's World lady. What's her name?
What?
Alice Cooper?
Know. No.
I don't know.
Oh, fuck, I forgot her name.
But the one who really wails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cassandra. She wails. She's in The Relic, I believe.
Right. Lead actor? Is that what was the beginning of the end?
Can you IMDb?
I guess I can.
See if I'm right.
The Relic.
The good thing is that it's the same writers, I think, all the way through the trilogy.
Yes.
Mm. They've really developed their screenwriting.
I just think that's very rare for these kinds of things. You don't usually get, usually they just hodgepodge writers and you know, it's probably why there's such good consistency.
Different directors?
Yes, I believe so. Mm. I think the last two were the same.
Okay.
Penelope. The first one, but I'll double check that.
Sorry. That would make sense because the first two looked very similar.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Reeves did, I'm pretty sure, 2 and 3.
They have a similar look and tone and feel.
Yeah, it's a different director for the first one.
This one is a bit more brighter and has a different sort of filter and color grading in there.
Yeah. But it's also a more set in the human times when humans were king.
Oh.
Whereas the others,
when humans were king. I don't know what that voice is. Kind of sounds like Marlon Brando.
Yeah, I was thinking Marlon.
Hey, I'm a Caesar. You come to me on this on the day of my ape wedding, and you ask to be ape father. It's unbelievable.
Have you worked on your Lithgow since you mentioned that earlier?
No.
That's pretty good.
Oh my! Oh! That's Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Did you know? Oh, here's one fact that you maybe because it's about Cobra.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's the was the nickname of Joseph Stalin during his time as a revolutionary in Georgia.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yes. I think it's a. I think in summary, because I hope to God we're wrapping this up now.
Yes,
great.
This has been. It's gone on for.
Look, I could keep talking. It's just that I
don't want to
have things to do.
Like what? What are you going to do?
I have to go home and do my washing, Ben.
Wow.
I got to do my wash for the week.
Huh. Weekly wash.
I can't. Be running around with dirty undies.
No, you can't.
That's... Wearing them inside out, backwards. I'm not 20 years old anymore.
You know, happy birthday.
Huh.
Thank you.
So normally to wrap up the chat, we talk about our favorite primate from the screen.
Uh-huh.
From the screen.
And we say how much of us we see in them as a percentage, because chimpanzees and humans share about 98%. DNA. How much of you, Mark Bonanno, do you see in your favorite, and why? You were Caesar man. You were Cobra guy. Maurice.
No, like I think what you said about Caesar being an incredible leading man. Let's say man.
Yes.
Did that get recorded?
That's the leading man chime.
I think that's very true. I think he's a incredibly. Interestingly flawed,
tickled me.
complex character who has to deal with quite a, you know, like dealing with a balance between protecting my family, liking humans, but knowing when to go to war, knowing when to fight, knowing when not to fight.
Apes together strong.
I think Caesar would have loved the Fast and the Furious movies because they are all about family.
They are all about family. And if you've been to Universal Studios and done the tour, you would have got to do the Fast and the Furious ride.
Wow.
Which I tell you is something no human being on this planet
should
I was going to say miss out on.
Oh, wow, they're quite polar opposite.
Polar opposite.
It's been a long time since I've been at Universal Studios, and they had the Back to the Future ride back then.
I've been great. And a DeLorean type.
Second. Yeah, you got to sit in a DeLorean.
Wow, that's hot.
That would have been cool. Was it just one of those things where you're in the DeLorean and there was a big screen in front of you and the DeLorean moves around?
Yeah.
And that's the vast majority of rides at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
I'm getting real mixed messages from you. You would ask me to wrap up, and now you're talking about.
I don't know how to answer the question.
Well, okay, Ben's a much better improviser. Let's ask Ben.
So in terms of Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, who's your favorite and what percentage?
I think Cornelius steals the show in almost all of these films. Especially he comes into his own in the third one.
Mm.
He becomes, I mean, not Cornelius, Maurice.
Maurice, yeah. Maurice. I was going to say Cornelius is the baby at the end of the third one.
Sorry, I'm an idiot. I'm a fucking idiot.
I hate you.
Maurice is so good. Like, he's just, and again, I'm biased because I love an orangutan.
Yeah.
He's an orangutan.
Ex-circus orangutan. And that's how he learned to sign, and he was really Caesar's right hand.
Yeah.
Orangutan.
He was his consigliere.
Yeah, So what as a percentage? I've never found this so hard. This is the 13th
as
episode.
As a percentage, what?
I don't...
How much of you do you see in Maurice? Only when I'm asking you guys do I realize what a stupid question this is.
Just refresh my memory.
How about let me go with, I'll say, I see, normally I go last, but you guys need to be hand-led.
Please.
Yeah.
I see probably Caesar, I reckon I see, I'd say what I want to see. I want to say 100%, but I fall short of that. I'd say probably, I'd say I'm about 72%. Caesar, and what I see is, you know, a love of family. That's in me as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also like to live in an attic if I can.
Yeah.
I stare out the window for sure. Yeah. If there is one, I look longingly and I look at the kids frolicking. I go, I wish I could play out there. I wish I wasn't trapped in here. Am I a pet? Am I your pet? You know, I ask those sort of questions sometimes of my parents.
Mm.
So I reckon that's about 68%. But then the thing, well, 72 or whatever I said. But then what things that make me different from Caesar? I don't think I would take down the big dog at the jail. I reckon I'd just slip in a line. I reckon I'd be the kind of chimp who'd go in there. I go, all right, this is the order.
This is fucking stupid. This part. I've loved this bit of, but percentage wise.
Different.
No, well, I don't think Mark gets it still. How about Maurice? Where do you differ from Maurice?
I think Maurice is more patient than I.
Yeah,
I think we are similar in the fact that we both we are very loyal to and supportive to our friends.
Yeah, that's great.
So that loyalty and support.
So what number would you give that?
And we're also level-headed. Like I pride myself on being quite chill.
Right. Chilled in the face of adversity.
Yeah. So I reckon, even thinking about it now, I reckon I'm like 80.
80%, yeah.
80 to 85.
Because obviously you don't have red hair. So that's right. One of the things in that 20.
And I've got a pot belly, a little pot belly, just like Cornelia.
Whereas, oh, right.
I mean, Maurice, sorry.
Jeez, Louise.
I'm going to be radically different here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say Caesar salad.
100%.
Well, depending on the dressing.
Okay. You're creamy.
Because a lot of creamy dressings have either lactose or fructose in them.
Mm.
So if you can get a ranch style or Caesar style dressing minus the lactose and the fructose, 100%. I see myself with crunchy little bacon bits, those tasty little croutons, fresh lettuce, maybe an egg. Chicken, if you want to pay $4 extra.
Like?
An egg is like a soft, hard, like a soft boiled egg.
Oh, I like everything.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
Just in general, very positive.
Parmesan
guy.
On the top. Yeah. Why parmesan? I hear you wondering. Aren't you lactose free? Yes. The harder the cheese, the less the lactose.
Ah, that's an interesting factoid.
Not a lot of lactose in parmesan cheese.
Can I put this to you? You took some offense when I said Ben's a better improviser than you. You thought, how can I say someone real whack and ruin this segment to get back at Matt? Is that what happened?
No, what happened was I haven't seen this movie in such a long time. I can't remember any of the characters' names other than Caesar. I'm still trying to figure out who Maurice is, but I think he's the bald one that's like a bit.
That's
like,
Cobra.
No, Cobra's the one with the scar.
Maurice is the orangutan.
Maurice is the big orangutan?
Yeah, the big boy.
The one that doesn't talk, that just signs.
Signs, yeah.
Right. Which is the one with the little bald piece of shit, the one that gets fucks around with the people, the one that they find in the third one. But he's in the third one. He's not great. In the first one.
Yeah,
so it
yeah the
matter.
Third one. Yeah, was he from a circus or he was from a fairground or something?
I identify with him the most.
He was from an Andy Circus.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, Look, I should have made it clearer that when I said this podcast was going to be about Rise of the Planet of the Apes, there was some expectation that you would have.
I thought we were talking a bit about generally about all three films. And I was like, I have enough general knowledge of all three films because I've seen them all.
Before,
this is unbelievable.
If we go on to the second one. If it
was a when at the start of the podcast.
I'm wondering if you were going to want to come back for the second
one. Of course.
It'd be great if we should all watch the film.
I would love to watch it together.
Yeah.
Well, let's watch it together because that would be a joy, especially considering you haven't really seen it.
Yeah.
That would be an absolute
joy. I don't
know
how it ends.
Ooh, but you know how the next one starts.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but
it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. I don't know how we get there.
It's a great journey. Yeah. And I've forgotten a lot of it. I can't wait to watch it.
I've heard that this one is the best. So. Yes. From multiple people.
I think undoubtedly.
I should say also, thank you so much for coming in, but there is a whole other segment, so can you just sit back down and shut the door, Mark?
Yeah, I'm back.
Because this is the final segment of the show. It's called Primate Sporting Mascot of the Week segment.
I was going to go home, something
similar than that. And each week we talk about a different primate sporting mascot. You guys, Ben, you're a bit of a sports fan, Mark.
You're not really
a sports boy?
No, unless you're talking esports.
Are there any primates?
Is that a bong?
Yeah, it was a bong. It didn't sound like bongs when I watch esports. Winston.
Winston.
Winston from Overwatch. He's a big. He's a gorilla. He's a gorilla.
Yeah, he's a gorilla.
He's a gorilla that you play. He's an intelligent gorilla, potentially from this franchise, and he's got a little electro gun.
He's a cyborg gorilla.
Is he cyborg? I thought it was just armor.
I don't know.
So you don't follow any sports, really? You just work in sports media?
No, I do. Sorry, I work in sports media, but I also...
Sports media?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What job do you have in sports media?
I can't say, because if they find out that I'm not that into sports, I might get fired.
I didn't know this about you, and I can't wait till the podcast is over to find out.
All right, well, this week, the Primate Sporting Mascot we're talking about is one called Gigante, who's the San Jose Giants mascot.
Right. Oh,
that's cool.
And so this is a minor league baseball team.
I didn't give you mine, though.
Yeah, what is your? Do you have one?
It might be my favorite one.
You can only pick once, make it count.
Naomi, the woman you keep going on about how much you love, she picked a person in a suit on the side of the road, who like an animal suit.
I know
exactly
what she's talking about.
Yeah, who was like a big woodpecker suit.
Mm. I like the Eagle Boy from Eagle Boys.
From Eagle Boys Pizza.
Boys Pizza. Jeez, what a classic franchise of pizza shops that was.
Eagle Boys Pizza. And there was always an Eagle Man in a suit. What happened to Eagle Boys?
Eagle Boys, I think it's probably still going somewhere.
In the suburbs. It belongs in the suburbs, doesn't it?
So Gigante was suggested by...
Eagle Boys.
Matt, can this be...
Selena Hoots from Sunnyvale, California. So,
Matt.
Yes?
I'm asking you a question.
Okay.
Can you make this the photo? Do you get to put up a photo?
I get to put up a photo,
Can you put... That can you make this the photo for the podcast? Because they really did do an incredible job of the computer graphics. If you could put that up as the photo,
that's not a great.
If you don't put it up now, then what I've just done is fucking irrelevant.
All right, I'll put it up. Anyway, let me tell you about Gigante. On their website, they've given him stats, and I think because you guys are both comedy writers, you might enjoy some of this stuff, right?
Uh huh.
They've got down his stats: height, larger than life.
Okay. That's more of like a description of someone's personality, but sure.
They've given his weight as 5,000 bananas.
That's not a weight. That's not a measurement.
That's not a measurement for weight.
I was thinking that as well, because you used to live in America, didn't you, Ben?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's not an American. Because I know they have a different system. It's not
bananas.
Their system isn't
bananas.
It's
grapes.
Grapes, right.
They had a man on Dr. Phil the other day couldn't get out. He was so fat they couldn't get him out of his house. He weighed over 2,000 bananas.
It was unbelievable. They say that you have weighed 2,000 bananas.
Bananas.
Fuck, he's terrible, isn't he?
I get such a kick out of watching Dr. Phil.
He's one of the worst humans.
Is he a bad man?
I don't understand how that could even be in question.
I just see him yell at teenagers for mucking around.
What you're doing is disrespectful. It's wrong.
So but you is do he like that?
What?
I find that show real, no, a real it's hard fucking, watch.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
man.
Hate it and I hate him and I think he's in a... I think he's a...
Could you diagnose him as him?
Yeah. You are a narcissist and you take advantage of stupid people for your own personal gains.
That's really good.
That's great.
That's a very...
That should take
astute
you
to observation.
The, to the stratosphere, I reckon.
Thank you
I reckon
so
that'll
much.
Be the one that breaks you.
I'm sending you this photo.
I'm the one.
So this is bio. I mean, I feel like you guys are into this, so I'm going to stick with it. It says that it's like it's got a fake biography for him. Anyway, so this is what they've written. Sometimes these do seem like they've just written one draft of it. It says he is a legend in the jungle. And is known for his incredible dancing ability. He was scouted by the San Francisco Giants organization.
Should I do another draft?
Is
no,
he a
no,
real
no.
Monkey?
We got stuff to do.
After his appearance on the hit TV show, The Jungle's Got Talent. Was no, he's a guy in a suit.
It's a guy in a suit. Okay.
Gigante is the in his eighth season with San Jose, where he has danced his way into the hearts of millions. He is a giant in the community. Yeah. Anyway, his likes include running the bases with fans, chasing after bananas, fist pumping, signing autographs for kids, and Martinelli's apple juice. They squeezed in a.
I got so,
they squeezed in an ad.
I got so bored listening to that that I stepped outside my body and I fucking just took a big shit in the astral plane.
While you were
and
talking,
then came back.
I was looking at internet movie database for some things, and while you were talking, I internet movie database. I was so bored and out of my mind, distracted. That's where I went to.
Well, you just sounded like you just went. Oh my god, I was out of my mind.
Oh yeah, I get like that. That's my family. That's my family. And
oh
for the people
God.
Listening overseas, I'm so sorry. WOG is an Australian term for European immigrant.
Yeah, Western Oriental gentleman.
Yes. So I apologize if that is offensive in other places.
But you can
As
call
I do
yourself-
apologize for the majority of what I've said.
You
on
can
this
call
podcast.
Yourself a WOG. That's fine. If I
can.
Call you a WOG, it's a little problematic. But it doesn't. You know,
but
it's
it,
no, but it's
in
if,
the UK.
If you don't give that contents to people listening, like in the UK. Then I could come across as incredibly
Mark Bonanno
racist.
Is a massive wog.
You have no idea.
Wog comedy is big in Australia as well.
Wog comedy is big.
Huge. Sushi World Mango. Wog. Look it up.
Sushi Mango.
Which genuinely makes me laugh.
Sushi
you can
Mango.
Relate.
I Sushi Mango get me.
Oh, my God. Oh, baby.
Ah, what's this shit? So good.
Gigante's. Gee, I've said his name differently every time.
I'm more of a Superwog guy.
Superwog, you'll be enjoying there. Can we plug Superwog's ABC show, which
I've got an ABC
out
show
pretty soon? Yeah, six-part ABC show, Superwog the TV show.
How many subscribers do they have?
Superwog?
Yeah.
Gotta be a million.
How many do you have?
187,000.
Mm, that's why you didn't get your ABC pilot.
Yeah, that's why.
Hey, this isn't the time for that, Ben.
I don't know why I'm such a... I'm being such a right now.
It's just, very funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, man. It's real funny.
It's funny because you're turning red with rage.
Yeah, no, it's good, man. It's funny.
Why are your
Sorry,
fists
you
clenched?
Say something about
Why do you have a massive boner?
Unrelated.
Yeah. When Marx gets angry, he gets boners.
Well, that's what bonobos like to... Fuck away there.
The number is like the fuck away. All the and it all comes back together.
Yes,
makes sense to me.
I fucking love it when a plan comes together.
All right. Well, I feel like I mean, I do have his dislike. Let me just say it because I feel like I'll.
Can you tell us more about this character?
This is the last thing I want to say. He's got dislikes include cold weather, spoiled bananas, losing in blackjack.
Spoiled bananas.
And
losing
children.
In blackjack. It's Who the fuck real... likes losing in blackjack? Who enjoys it? I love losing. A game. I fucking love it.
It's just a very weird mix of dislikes. He's also like, so it's mainly about kids and he's sort of a cartoon character. Then there's a little ad for Martinelli's apple juice. who I guess is a team sponsor, but then lose it like a gambling, like then they've painted him as a gambler.
Yeah.
It's real strange.
He hates losing at blackjack because the last time he lost his whole family.
Yeah.
And he loves...
His wife hates him. His ape wife hates him.
Does he have two wives? Why do you have to say ape wife? Does he have... Do you have to differentiate?
He's got a human wife.
Oh, okay. And an ape wife as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I fucking hate him.
Do you want to see him?
No.
I'm not saying this is a bad segment, Matt, but I will say I'm not enjoying it.
Oh, so it's a good segment. Is that what you're saying?
Could be. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't know.
What podcast? No, I'm not looking at him.
Oh, God. We're looking at photos now.
I'm not looking at him. He looks like the guy, the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
Does, doesn't he?
And he's got a bit of Paddle Pop Lion in there as well.
If I didn't hate him
bit of Chad Kroger,
a moment ago,
Chad Kroger,
I would now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because he's a ranger as well. Is he supposed to be an orangutan?
I think so, yeah.
Here's a little something for you, Matt. And
ranger
you.
Comes from orangutan.
Orangutan,
yes.
That's right.
For having red hair.
And you're a ranger.
I'm a ranger, yeah.
Holy fuck.
I'd love to thank Selena for suggesting Drake.
Thank you, Selena.
Thank you so much, Selena. I'm sorry that this happened.
It's not your fault this segment exists.
It's not your fault. It's not your responsibility. This podcast is not your responsibility.
But thank you for contributing. I've had a great time. Yeah, I want to make that very clear.
I'm fast running out of primate mascots, if anyone does want to suggest more, like Selena did. You can do that.
Winston.
What about
do the Overwatch?
What about Cocoa Pops?
I'm gonna move away from sporting mascots if I have to.
Overwatch is an e-sport.
Yeah, that's true. It is an e-sport.
I cannot understand any of the words you're saying.
Electronic sports.
Okay.
Ever been to Korea?
You know,
fuck.
You know email. You know email.
Yeah.
This is the sports version of email.
Korea's national sport is StarCraft
2.
Two.
I've seen Andy Matthews' bit about StarCraft, so I understand that it exists.
Does he have a StarCraft bit?
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
You should.
I like StarCraft, and when people mention it in comedy, it makes me giggle.
Well, you'll really love this. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us. This is the longest episode we've done by quite a margin, and
this is an hour.
Jesus!
It's also probably the one that we've least talked about the topic. So, I mean...
But that was always going to happen.
I think we talked about it a lot, but we didn't have clear guidelines coming
in. We also made some good things. We had some good calls. We really dissected Rise of the Planet of the Apes for a little bit.
Your understanding of narrative, Ben, really blew me away in this hour and a half.
Grazie, signor.
Bravo. Now, let's end this pronto.
Thanks so much for joining me, Mark Bonanno.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on. I had a great time.
Hey, look, I could not have been any happier about you being here. But what we normally do to finish the show is I'm going to put it over to you, Ben.
You didn't thank me?
Oh, no, I haven't. Well, I'm about to thank you, but I'm putting one of our guests.
Uh-huh.
One of our guests has to do the outro, and it's the classic outro phrase. You have to riff something, but we play it like we always say it at the end. It's a fun little game to finish with. I could have asked Mark, but...
Mm.
Quite clearly, not up to it.
I'm the number one. I'm the number one.
Number one improviser in Australia, and also the number one guest here today.
That did change.
Yeah, it did.
Did change.
I want to say that it was me at the start, it went to Ben, and then it changed back to me.
Yeah, but it's Ben forevermore now.
But he didn't do anything. That wasn't clear. The way you just said it was like he's been the number one, and you made that clear earlier.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. So this sort of it folds back.
Wake up, Mark. Wake up and smell the beans.
It doesn't matter.
That's coffee beans. Roasted, just like you are.
Do the fucking bit.
If you like the show, please check us out on social media at PrimeMatesPod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Mark, where can people find you?
Twitch.
Pardon?
Very Polite Gamer.
Twitch at Very Polite Gamer. And you can also find me across all the Auntie Donna social medias. Just search Auntie Donna. But check out our YouTube channel for a couple of cheeky little videos. We do like to do a lot of fun viral videos. They are pretty funny.
They are.
And Benjamin, where can I find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Ben Russells. You can check out my podcast called The Bike Club, available on iTunes.
Is your djembe podcast still available?
No. Oh, it is, actually. If you go to SoundCloud and search djembe podcast. That was just a joke, though. This one is very serious.
Right.
You can check me out. Follow me on Facebook at the Ben Russell page. And on Gamey Game, I'm a frequent
guest. Yeah, I love Gamey Game.
And as we always say here on Primates,
you can't bloody get a monkey in this city worth a dime. that turned out that wasn't too bad.
That was quite good.
Yeah.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.